Becoming Mature Sunday. So we're in the series Becoming Mature. Let's talk about how we take real steps to be church like Jesus wants us to be, and treat each other the way Jesus wants us to. And today, if you go to this next slide, we've got this kid that kind of excited look. And maybe you remember being a little kid and having some adult trust you enough to give you something kind of dangerous. Or to trust you in doing something kind of dangerous. And think back to your kid self. You remember the feeling, wow, I can't believe you. You're trusting this, right? So some of you probably picture wildly different things, right? The thing like you, the adult in your life, or when you're a little kid. Today we're going to start the sermon in a pretty safe zone. Some good advice to help a lot of us out. But we're going to get to a spot that is probably going to feel a little bit like, maybe this is a bad idea. Maybe this is a little dangerous to stand this off here. Right? That's where we're headed. We're headed to this idea of like some trust that Jesus wants to grow us up, right? So where are we going to be at in the Bible? The key passage, of course, is Ephesians chapter 4. And these two verses are going to be the key for us. We're going to be in the Bible quite a bit in some different spots. We mentioned a lot of scripture. So you have those little notepads in front of you. If you want to take notes, it'd be great. But our key passage today talks about anger. So Ephesians 4, 26 through 27 says, in your anger, do not sin. This idea of sin is when we fall short of the goodness of Jesus, right? We do something less or worse or evil differently than how Jesus himself would have done, right? So in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold, right? So anger is not supposed to be something we just let sit and stew inside of us, and we give Satan, we give evil leverage on us when we do that, right? When we get angry and we do something Jesus wouldn't do, or we just sit and stew on it, we're giving Satan a good footing to just wail on us, right? That's what this verse is talking about. So, anger, our key topic here. The passage doesn't say never, ever get angry. And when we look at the Bible as a whole, we see examples of Jesus getting angry. For most of us, when we think about anger, we think about church. We think like, oh man, yeah, that was a good game. We should always be nice. Right? It's not really like, right away. Today, right after the game, I want to talk to us about what's worldly anger, like most of the way we react. Is wrong. We're talking about how is that different from how Jesus reacts. Right? So we're going to talk through and then we'll look at a couple of examples from Jesus' life. So here's some four kind of key questions on what kind of anger is this? Is it evil anger or is it Jesus-like anger? Right? So the first question to ask is who? We got kind of the dark side of it or the light side of it. So normally when I get angry, or most of us in the room get angry, it's because of I'm trying to defend me. Or us, right? And so it's selfish, basically, that it's right? So anytime you get angry about your rights, or somebody treating you wrong, or disrespecting you, it's probably not the right reason to be angry. And we see Jesus get angry in the New Testament. Jesus is typically getting angry because other people are being abused, or victimized, or someone's dishonoring God, right? Attacking the mission that God's given us to do. So Christ-like anger right out of the gate, it's about helping other people out, right? It's not about defending yourself. Next question to think about is the when. Normally with dark side of anger, it's going to either be this adrenaline-infused thing, like you just like explode, and a lot of times when I got angry or regret it later, if I think back and think, if I would have gone outside and gone to a different location, done anything physical, you know, like 10 push-ups, or built something with my hands, or whatever, and then walk back in the room, I wouldn't have said that. Or I wouldn't have broke, or whatever it is, right? If going to a different room and doing something physical takes your anger away, it's not a Christ-like anger. Like in John chapter 2, Jesus sees people doing something crazy in the temple, and goes out and makes a whip with his hands, and then comes back, and it's just as angry, right? It's not adrenaline power, it's not dominated by so, doing a bunch of jumping jacks is for your anger. It's good that you got rid of it, right? You didn't need to add that in the driver's seat, right? Or, another he reacts the same day, right? That's what Ephesians is saying. If it's worth getting angry about, it should be dealt with today. It shouldn't just be something you stew with, right? The next question, of course, is it open or not? Some people act really polite, but inside they got all this anger going on.
Right.
Jesus seems to let people know. If he's angry, it seems like people know, right? And some of you get scared of that. But Jesus really has a lot of integrity, right? So if something's wrong, he goes ahead and tells people about it. We've got to make sure to act just like it. But one of this phrase that says open about it. Final one we're going to mention the difference here is the goal. So when I'm angry in a selfish way, when it's about me, the goal a lot of times is for me to look right, or to get something, sort of respect or something, or the goal, grossly enough, is to hurt the other person, right? If you look at Jesus-like anger is trying to get people to change, right? It's not just about inflicting pain for pain's sake. And a little test you can do on yourself with this is, if you get really angry at somebody, imagine if they suddenly said, like, you know what, I should be different. Would it just dissipate all your anger? Like, were you actually just hoping for them to take a step forward? Or are you still wanting them to suffer and realize they're a fool or something? Like, you're still wanting them to hurt a little more, like, let them off easy? That's not Christ-like anger. Christ-like anger, like, wants that person and other people to be free in God, right? It's not wanting to suffering for suffering's sake. When you have that in your heart, like, I don't want that person to squirm, that's not Christ-like anger, right? So far, we've hit pretty safe spots. Right? We're looking at a couple of examples from Jesus' life. And if you want to turn there, it's worth flipping. It's in Matthew 26, 67 through 68, the first one. And the Bible's going to specifically tell us that Jesus is angry right here, but Jesus is fully human and fully God. I can't imagine that he didn't have a temptation to get angry when they're in Matthew 26 in this act. So Jesus has been unjustly arrested and betrayed by a close friend. He gets dragged by the religious leaders who are both hypocritical, not following their own rules away at night. He gets blindfolded by these guys. And then in verse 67 it says, then they spit in Jesus' face, which here in the Olympics, it doesn't matter what country you're from, like spitting on somebody is like, it's always been that. Every culture, everywhere, every language, right? They spit in his face, struck him with their fists, so they're punching him. Others slapped Jesus and said, prophesy to us, Messiah, who hit him. So they have him blindfolded, and they're punching him and slapping him and saying, Messiah, prophesy to us, who hit him. So obviously the physical side, literally getting punched and slapped, makes people angry, right? But then the insult side, like the person you are, we don't believe you. We're going to mock who you say you are, right? We're going to mock God says you. Sometimes we get angry because other people have been super mean to us, right? I can definitely understand that. Christ shows us right here that people are incredibly cruel, like pressing all the buttons that you can press to make somebody angry. And Jesus literally like turns the other cheek, right? Like he practices the way he's preaching. Right? He will absorb all that, not make it about himself. A little bit later, when the Romans are crucifying him, he's going to say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing, right? And Jesus is actively loving dying for people that are doing this to us. So right away we see that Jesus has the ability to kill the anger inside of him, right? There's a temptation to anger, and Jesus can say, like, nope, that doesn't help the mission that God's given me. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to actively love the people that are hurt. Okay? But we're going to look at another scene where Jesus does get angry, and that's just a little bit before us, our timeline wise, but it's Matthew chapter 21, verses 12 through 15. And when Jesus gets angry, it's really different than normal anger. So verse 12, Jesus entered the temple courts and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He system, people would come from all over the place to worship at the temple, and it didn't have animals with it. They had to buy animals. People were like abusing that, making a bunch of money right there in what was supposed to be God's house. Jesus is not okay with it, and he's not just saying like, I don't like this. And he's flipping over tables, causing a big stir, there's a bunch of money, animals, and chaos involved in that, right? Verse 13 says, it is written, he said, that my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers. Now, if you don't know the culture of Judaism, it's hard to pick up on some of it. Piercingness, what he's saying, right? When I was living in Mexico, he's better at Spanish, but the worst cursing you can do in Spanish has to do with some of the horrible conquistadors used to do in Mexico. You can get like, wow, yeah, that can really be gruesome. Well, here he's quoting Jeremiah 7, like a den of robbers. And that's when Jeremiah is condemning people in that same place, at that temple, same city, right before God's like, you guys are so bad, you're not worthy of this place. And, like, the whole city is taken over. I mean, it's like the lowest of the low in their culture. Like, their shameful moment, like, Jesus refers back to it. Like, you guys are doing something just wretched, like the worst of our forefathers. So it's this real piercing statement about the den of robbers thing. It's true, but it's aggressive, right? The other thing he quotes from Isaiah, if you were here when Mike Sanders was preaching on Isaiah 52, 53, Jesus is prophesied there about how he's going to love us, sacrifice for us, right? But then the next several chapters, 54, 55, 56, they're this incredible talk about God's mercy, how God wants to bring in all sorts of to come to his house and make it a house of prayer. So, like, Jesus is angry, and he's saying stuff that's super cutting, and he's also talking about how it's supposed to be. And it's supposed to be really life-giving and good. So it's not all just, like, burn it down. It's actually, like, inspiring and piercing at the same time. Pretty incredible, right? We're going to keep reading on. It's still more incredible, not the way normal anger works. Verse 14, the blind and the lame came to Jesus at the temple, same spot, and Jesus healed them. This is not the only time when Jesus gets angry and somebody gets healed in the same scene. And healing, like when the Bible talks about salvation, like in Greek, salvation is supposed to be like God brings health to all of you, right? So there's a physical healing and a spiritual healing, like all that can be connected. Here, Jesus is bringing salvation to people. He's bringing God's healing to broken people right on the tail end of his anger. Think about the last time you got mad. Like, at the end of the day, did somebody who was broken at the start of the day feel like they had a restored, healthy connection with God or less broken? Come on, anger doesn't normally do that, right? We don't really think of anger leading to brokenness. Not anger, making room to push the bullies back so that the broken ones get connected to God. And then, even further, kids. Normally when a man gets angry, kids don't stay in the same proximity. Like, what happens when Jesus gets angry? But then the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things Jesus did, and the children shouted in the temple courts, Hosanna to the Son of David, and the religious leaders were indignant. So the kids are worshiping God and praising God for Jesus, all in that same scene. It's pretty easy that we see this, that like, Jesus is really good at anger and defeat. I should leave that for the professional. I don't know if you've ever seen like a doctor work on somebody that's sick or something, or surgeon. Sometimes you see somebody really good at something, and you're like, I should just stay away from doing that. That's for somebody else. I think that's how most people in church view anger. Like maybe Jesus can do it, but I need to just never get angry and always be nice. That's a more comfortable spot to be. I don't think that's where Jesus wants us to land. Okay, so I'm going to tell you a little quick story, and then I want to kind of go over. So the quick story is about a five. I remember being a little kid, and my dad gave me a pocket knife just like this. And I carried a pocket knife around always And there's definitely parents out there that are like, why are you giving leads to kids? You know, like, not a good idea, right? I can also tell you what it felt like to be a boy and be given something dangerous. Right? Like, as a kid, like, you want to grow up and be able to handle stuff. You want to be adventurous. You want to be courageous. So it feels like somebody else is like a guru. Right? It feels like somebody trusts you. I think God has things for us that are similar to this. Not literally like, hey, we're going to come out of that deserves the prayer. But I think your Heavenly Father wants you to become the next person that can handle anger. Right? Treating about anger is very dangerous. You can cut yourself and you cut other people, right? This is not safe. But I believe God wants us to grow the type of people that anger is one of our emotions, and when when we get angry, we don't run away from it. We're able to glorify Jesus even in anger. And where do I get this idea? Well, this next verse is really important. It's much more important than anger. And to kind of help us focus on a little more, if somebody got a really loud voice and is willing to read Luke 6:40, just stand up and read it for us. Anybody?
Practical steps. We jump forward to that slide with the candle on it. It says, kill
anger. So kill anger. This language comes from Colossians chapter 3. It talks about killing some of the sin in our life. Most of the time, you feel an anger emotion, it is right. So just shut it down. Because it's selfish. It's about defending yourself. It's about hurting somebody else. How do you shut it down? Here's a real quick tip from Jake. I can just go on a walk. That's my go-to when I feel angry. When you feel angry, if you will go outside, if you see something beautiful, it's hard to notice something beautiful and stay in like a brain, right? So anytime you can notice something beautiful, it's helpful. Knock yourself out of a rut of rage. But also, if you go outside and go for a little walk, it gets some of the adrenaline out. But also, like, you take a candle outside and the sun's shining. Most of the time, you take a candle outside, it just blows out, right? You can't get it from the wind. And most of the time, when I'm always super angry, and then I walk outside and talk to Jesus, within seconds, I realize, like, yes, the use of ourselves in light is something that we all do. lead our neighbor. Like there's a training involved, right? There's some steps. My goal for you isn't that you get angry this afternoon. Like that's not everybody's like mission. Like let's all go get angry. But here's a strange thing to say to your pastor. I think we probably all should get angry about something in this calendar year. Like I would be amazed if we don't run into anything that is so unjust or so wrong or so broken that God doesn't want us to be angry about, right? But will we be ready to be angry in a Christ-like way when that happens in November, whenever it happens? So here's quick tips. We've got just a few minutes left, right? One is you want to take a picture of this as a lot of passages. Sometimes people are like, oh man, I want more meat in the sermon. I want to go deeper. Well, here's your chance. It's like, take a picture of this. I got a little shovel. Because this is a lot of passages about anger. If you want to go deeper, I'm like, I really actually want to get to be the type of person who can be mad while Jesus is mad. Then go on a journey with these passages. The very first one that says clear, that's because Colossians 3, if you're only going to read one of them, Colossians 3 is a lot easier to understand what it's saying than go do something more. But if you really want to become more mature, you can dig into these passages. Like Numbers 25, this is really violent. Sexual stuff going on, violent stuff going on, it's maybe hard to understand when you first read it. But there's also this principle there of what zeal is. When you really care about God and honor, you're going to stand up for it. That's what happens in Numbers 25. And something you might not have expected it comes out in Numbers 25 is the person who's really zealous and takes action with their anger, God blesses them with peace. And if you're looking for somebody, and you're saying, like, I want a mentor. I want someone to teach me how to be angry. You're not just looking for the most aggressive person in your life. You're actually looking for the person that, like, maybe they don't have to yell, but they do have an ability to stand up to people. And they have a lot of peace. So when there's a crisis, they might stand up without hesitation, but they also have a lot of peace. That might be a principle that comes out in Numbers 25. Like Psalms 4, Psalm 69, these are stuff that gets quoted about when Jesus is getting angry. But when you read those Psalms, they're actually just prayers that have a lot of trust in God. So if you're going to get angry in God, you're going to really trust yourself to God. Jesus really trusts himself to God. Maybe his secret sauce, right? I can't tell you about all those passages. They're there. So next thing, here's our like little four-step thing. You really want to do some training. Pray and ask God just by finding a buddy. Let's go do it together. We're trying to go harder, right? Like, I want to find somebody who already knows how to ride a horse. That's teaching. Ask God. Like, show me somebody that can show me how to handle anger and depression. Right? Ask for it. Look for it, right? Don't rush past that step. You might not get it. Like Philippians chapter 3, Paul says, like, all the stuff about his relationship with God. He says, I follow my example. It's okay to ask God, give me an example in my life how to do this right. Number two, this one you should be able to accomplish, and you could probably do this in this room, is find a sibling, somebody else who's a brother or sister in Christ. You say, like, would you pray for me about this? And here's an activity you can do with your serious about the training piece. We've all gotten angry in some way that wasn't Christ-like. I've got a lot of examples, but I'm sure everybody has some. So you go to that Christian sibling, you're like, here's what's happened. One time I got mad and I didn't handle it right. But can we role play that? And this time I want to pretend that I did it in a Christ honor. And so if I go to Jason and do that, I'm like, there's this time in gym class, and this thing happened, this person did this, I did this. So can we role play it? And then now I do it differently. Or like I actually act with you. And sometimes we just need the practice, right? There's no danger. We're not going to blow it up. The pre and post is really important. Then you pray with that Christian sibling, like, would you pray for me that whenever a moment comes where I know I'm supposed to get angry, that Jesus will help. I'll pray for you. If you're not willing to pray with somebody else ahead of time, like, I don't think this is, probably should go anywhere. Just try not to be angry. Right? You're not going to ask for God's help. I don't think it's going to go well. The post one is just as important and is maybe a better litmus test if you're serious. Because this is not a license to just go tell that person how wrong they are, right? The post is, if it goes well, you go to that Christmas symbol and you're like, let's thank God together. I got so mad and actually I didn't have to call anybody and it helped. You go pray together. But if it doesn't go well, which you might not, or you want to go there for Chad as that person, I want to go to Chad like, Chad, I got mad and it started really good. The first things out of my mouth were really good, but then they insulted me and then I insulted them and then you're like, you know, like, and then I confess, right? Like that. If you're not the one to confess if it goes wrong, like to have that courage to say, I need to get better, I don't think you're ready to get angry at other people doing wrong with you. Does that make sense? But if you're not willing to have the courage to say, this is how I messed up, you probably shouldn't have the courage to say, this is how you're messed up. Right? So that post part, like, you really want to do it. The last one is not a very big thing, but it helps me and it might help you. Take a little bit of work, write a verse that's helpful to you by any of your epic Ephesians 4:29, you can pick all sorts of stuff. Colossians 3 got stuff, Romans 12 got stuff. This one is like training wheels. It's a little awkward. You're not going to look cool. But if you really want to ride a bike, like maybe you need to do it a little bit. This is a training wheels training wheel. So you get mad about stuff, right? You're mad. And you're like, I'm right. Right? I need to go tell that person off. I think she's wanted to. Like, okay. Training wheels are like, take your car that you already have on you, because you didn't come in unprepared, right? You're not just doing this out of nowhere. Get out of the room, go read that verse, ask Jesus for help. Did he? No car has two sides, that's nice. Write on the other side 1 to 2 sentences of what you need to tell that other person. Like, no, I will not lie for you, and you shouldn't lie either. You're like, that's plenty. I can think of a word of training wheels, right? Like 2 sentences is probably plenty for us to say anything, right? So you write them out. Then you call your mentor, if you've been blessed with one, and you say, like, I'm going to go do this. Is this a good idea? Or if you don't have a mentor, you call your sibling, which you should have. If you're not willing to do all these steps, like maybe you should be riding the horse, right? Or like getting injured, right? But you call your sibling, and they might be like, way to go, and they're kind of wrong with you, but at least you try. Or you might get a voicemail. And I think if you get a voicemail, like, okay, you try. Like, it's just you and the Holy Spirit. That's going to have to be enough. And it is, but if you won't ask for help, you can't display that it's just you and the Holy Spirit. Did you even try to let the other person help you? Cell phones, that helps you, right, for some people. So then you take it, you got your little card, you don't have to show this to the big bully you're about to put talk about. But if you did, it wouldn't even be that bad, right? Like, the point of getting angry correctly isn't to look like a hero, right? You're not trying to be Bruce Willis bloody toes or whatever, bloody feet. Like, you're trying to not sin, to stand up for Jesus, right? So if you got to be real stupid and read your sheet, say, I'm not even good at this. But what you're doing is wrong. So I just want to read it and try to trust myself. There's nothing wrong with doing that. Or, if you want to put it in your pocket or put it in your pocket, you need to tell them, this is what you did wrong. I think you should do this. Whatever happens from there, as your pastor, I'm going to tell you, like, just try to get through the rest without sin. You don't have to fix the person. Once you've said what God put on your heart to say, they might really poke back at you. And they might bring up other stuff that you can angry about. Now I'm going to say, like, we're just riding the horse inside the fence, right? Like, we're not ready to ride a bunch of cattle in Texas. You get around the fence a few times, like, just trying to get off the horse, right? Like, that's all. You're just trying to get out of that room without having to apologize. Not because you're afraid to apologize, but because, like, you don't, if you blow up, you take away the power. Whatever that good thing is you said. But if you say something good, and then they freak out, and then you just are like, I've said all I want to say. Like, again, you're not going to look like a superhero, but is Jesus going to look good at the end? You don't have to fix all the problems. Someday down the road, when you're further along than me, you might have more work to teach us about anger, right? like, let's take some baby steps. Because if we're going to be mature families together, at times, there needs to be anger. It's Jesus on our own, right? And we're going to say, this is wrong, but we still love each other. And we're not going to beat each other up, but we can also talk clear to each other, right? So, last thing to close out, I don't know the way to start for that, is my dad being in a pocket knife. I don't know what conversation you have with my mom first. I bet she was not as on board with it. But if my dad could have made this promise, and this is impossible, but it wouldn't put my mom at ease with her. If my dad could have said, I'm going to give Jake this pocket knife, but every time he uses it, I'll be in the same room with him. If that would have made my mom, if that were possible, that would have been better. You can give a little kid a pocket knife at a much younger age, because you always do that if you're a parent. And that's not true for kid and nice. It is true for us in anger, right? Like, there's never a place you will be that God's not willing to be in that same room with you, right? So I want to pray this over you for the next time you're angry, that this will be true. If you bow your head and open your hands, if you want to receive it. And embrace the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. In Jesus' name we pray.